whether it's regarding inheritance, borrowing money, taking part in halal and haram, and how not to take part in haram transactions to riba, marital life, marriage, divorce, also the issue of dealing with one another, how to think of our Creator, how our Creator will deal with us if we do wrong things, the various types of hearts that people have, hard-heartedness, how it comes into existence, how to let go of it, issues regarding the Musa alayhi salam, how his people treated him, how we should not treat and have such an opinion regarding our Prophet of Allah, and how we should be more compliant, how the Jews and Christians, although they may be united in modern times, the Quran clearly says there was a time when the Jews said to the Christians, you were not legitimate, and the Christians said to the Jews, you were not legitimate, etc. So Surah Baqarah covers almost every aspect of our everyday interaction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off in Surah Baqarah by saying, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is such a book that there is no doubt in it. And it is a book that functions as a form of guidance. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an ayah, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. As far as the munafiqs are concerned, they have a certain characteristic. When you tell them, don't create fitna on earth, and fitna is something, unfortunately, Allah is saying about the munafiqs. But you have to understand, many of us are creating fitna as well. We lie about one another, we cheat one another, we deceive one another, we create chaos in our families, we create chaos in our business, we carry a lot of misinformation. And what do we say? Brother, I'm just telling you the truth. That's what we say. Brother, I'm just telling you the facts. First of all, it is not my business to know about other people's personal life. Why do you have to give me the facts? Likewise, this is something that is taking place in every house, that people bring in negative and wrongful information back and forth. And you ask them why? They say, no. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. We are making sulha. We are just giving you the facts. As far as the facts are concerned, the only time I can tell you about someone's daughter or someone's son is when I have the facts that that person has been known not to pay debts, number one, and number two, when they have been involved in tremendous amount of fitna, and my sharing of the information is to prevent fitna. Now many times you'll notice, we are not here to prevent fitna. We are here to give information to create fitna. And it is happening, unfortunately, in every household. Thereafter Allah SWT says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ. That many people are purchasing barana, gumrahi, wrongfulness, in exchange of good. So they're purchasing the wrong, and they're saying, we're doing it for right reasons. So why are you doing this? Well, I'm doing it for unity. Why am I doing that? Because I need the people to be happy. That is why I lessen the amount of rakats. Whatever it may be, everyone is selling something or the other. And many people are selling their deen to gain whatever benefit from this world. Allah says it very clearly, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. That this trade and transaction you are taking place, it is not going to create for you any benefit. And in fact, it's going to create tremendous amount of destruction. Thereafter, of course, we read the phrase, and from this phrases that we have read regarding, and by the way, the surah is mentioned after Baqarah. Now you'll wonder, why is the surah called Surah Baqarah, the cow? To many people, it just doesn't make sense. Cow? I mean, you could call it Kaaba, you could call it Medina, call it Makkah, they call it so many things. I will give you a guarantee right now without even asking for a show of hands. The people that you are having a conflict with in your family, it is linked to what? Number one, money. Number one. And this is what he says here. And number two, your questions. And many of these fatwa sites that are running, they are running through why? Because people ask too many questions. And things that are made halal, they end up becoming haram. Two things are our disease. Family problems, number one, linked to money, and number two, asking questions that end up destroying our iman. How do I know that? Go and look at ayah from Wa'idh qala Musa lihawmi inna Allah murabbat al-bahru bakra. Now they came to Musa alayhi salam, and they said, must we really slaughter a cow? What type of cow? How old must the cow be? What color must be the cow? How young? They kept on asking questions. They call this qila wa qal wa kasratu suwal. Because of the unnecessary questions, they were just supposed to slaughter a cow. Nurbai wasn't there. He couldn't get them the perfect cow. So now what happened? They asked all these unnecessary questions about the cow. And eventually they had to get a cow that was of a certain color, of a certain age, of a certain size. And they had to fill the skin, the hide of that cow with tremendous amount of gold. The lesson here is, the more questions you ask, the more you're going to destroy your iman.
Thereafter, of course, the issue of wealth came, and there was these boys that killed, of course, there was one rewire, they killed the uncle. Or they killed this person. Why they killed? Because it was linked to wealth. It was linked to wealth. وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَالدَّارَةٌ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَكُلْنَا اضْرِبُوا بِعَدِيهَا. Thereafter, they wanted to know, well, what are the facts regarding the death? Allah made it such that they'll take a part of meat, put it on that uncle's dead body according to one riwayah, and upon putting the meat on that uncle that passed away, that life, the dead man came back to life, he said what happened, and thereafter he went back to death. So two things are going to destroy you: wealth and unnecessary questions. Let go of running behind wealth in the family or wherever it may be. Let it go. That wealth that you are running behind, you're not going to enjoy it, they're not going to enjoy it, you're going to have fight in your house, they're going to have fight in their house, your sons are not going to get along, their sons are not going to get along, it's going to be a bunch of misery, and guess who's going to laugh? Other people. Not you, you're going to be crying, and everybody has to be saying, oh, those, that old lady had only two sons, and look at them, they're having a problem. And they go on. You make yourself into a laughing stock. Give that $5, give that $10, and move on with your life and be happy. And you'll notice one thing. Anyone that had more money from the two, the one that had more money, in the end you'll see sometimes their children will even have less iman. Because money creates desire. The more you have, the more you want to buy, and the more you want to enjoy. So these two things, my brothers, the lesson for tonight, let go of these two habits, and inshallah, Allah will give you tremendous amount of barakah in your life and in your family. When prophets came to an end, one question they always ask their children. They didn't ask their children, oh my children, when I leave, are you going to take care of mommy? Are you going to take care of daddy? What are you going to do with the inheritance? They didn't ask that. وَصَابِيَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِي وَيَعْقُوبُ. From this we learn, without going into the details, oh my children, after, and children, by the way, doesn't mean sons. In Islam, sons, when they say son, it means sons, grandsons, great-grandchildren, daughters, granddaughters, and it goes on all the way down. The question was, when I pass away, what is something you're going to keep with you? And what advice they gave? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. They didn't say, make sure after I die, you continue educating, and make sure you take care of your sisters. And all. No, no, no. What they said, after I pass away, what are you going to follow? And what advice they gave? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh my children, oh my grandchildren, please, 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 do not pass away except for in the state of Iman. My brothers and sisters in Islam, understand this, that many of us, alhamdulillah, we have Iman. Look around here, you see most of the people over here, how old are they? We are the ones that are 30, 40, 50. We'll give them the benefit of doubt and say they are playing basketball. So at least they're on the masjid property. But I'm telling you, if they had a night job that was paying good, you think they will not go for it? You think that if they had, of course they'll take an excuse, tomorrow morning we have to go to work, etc., etc. If you are not going to make your sacrifice, and the children are not going to make the sacrifice, what is going to be left of the grandchildren? And if the grandchildren making the sacrifice, trust me, the great-grandchildren are pretty much gone. It's a reality. And this was a concern every prophet had. That's why they said, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Die. But make sure when you die in the state of Iman. You die in the state of being a Muslim. Again, simple. You are not going to pass an exam tomorrow if you didn't study tonight. It's simple. We all know that. If I gave you a test, you cannot... A simple thing like a driver's test. People go and they take classes, they do this, they do that. Just to pass a simple driver's test. Just to go home and say, Mommy, I got my license. Dad, I got my license. What car are you going to give me? Etc. Here, the test is simple. Live with Iman and live properly. And inshallah, we'll be able to die with Iman and be reserved among those with Iman, inshallah, ameen. Sibghat Allah. What is the color of Allah? Allah is talking here. Can Allah have a color? How can Allah have a color? What is Allah color? Blue? Red? No. Sibghat Allah. Wa man ahsanu min Allah sibgha wa nahnu lahu abidun. The what better color is than the color of Allah? Where can the color of Allah be found? It can be found in that individual that gives himself to the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So baby, yes, we agree, Allah doesn't have a physical color, but we can see the beauty of Allah in who? A true abid, in a person that gives himself to following the principles of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Almost every khutbah we read this,
Allah says the following, remember me and I will remember you. What, Allah has forgotten me and you? No, Allah doesn't forget. فَذْكُرُونِ Allah is saying, when you follow my sunnah and you abstain from that which is wrong at all times, then you are remembering Allah. Then Allah says, when you remember Allah in the proper way, by remembering Allah in the proper way, Allah says, أَذْكُرْكُمْ Then I will remember you. And when Allah remembers you, financial problems go away, health problems gradually go away. When the problems remain, it's like as if it's not there. I saw in some countries, and I mentioned this before, I saw actually homeless people. Homeless people, happy, I saw wealthy people with bodyguards, and homeless people sleeping, and by the way, I'm not talking about druggies or anything, no. Homeless people sleeping on the street. People are walking over this person, whatnot. He's enjoying his rest. He got his shoes, the shoes are a pillow, the bed is a cardboard, and he's snoring and he's enjoying his life. People are going up to him and leaving food for him to eat there. And he didn't go and ask anybody for du'as and give $300 to get du'as. He is getting it. Allah takes care of that man and a dog out there and a cat. I'm not equating him to a dog, by the way. No, I'm not doing that. Allah takes care of everything out there. And some of you are working 16 hours a day, 15 hours a day, 13 hours a day. And I guarantee you, you'll never have a night's sleep like that man. Because you've got to worry who's stealing in the business, who's not paying the taxes, how can I rip Uncle Sam off, how is Uncle Sam ripping me off, if my wife finds the divorce, how much money I'm going to lose. You are stressing and stressing and stressing. Allah says you don't need that stress. Now I'm not saying don't make money, go for it. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي Remember me properly, and I'll remember you in every situation. Thereafter Allah says, وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Be grateful towards me, and inshallah, you will not be amongst those that will be amongst those that commit any type of disbelief, wrongful rejection, etc. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of the ayah we have read, وَلَا تَنْكُوا الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا That do not marry mushrik women until they believe. وَلَا أَمَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ This ayah is very, very important. Many of our boys go, they meet various girls, LDS girls, this girl, that girl. Understand, I'm not passing a judgment. But as far as LDS is concerned, wonderful people, we have great meetings with them, etc. But at the end of the day, they are, according to some, amongst the mushriks. They believe in a prophet after Isa alayhi salam. So to marry their woman, you cannot do it. I'm not saying don't do it. What you do is your life. I can't stop you. But to marry a mushrik is what the Quran says, وَلَا تَنْكِهُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ You cannot marry them, period. Allah is saying it, not me. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَا أَمَّةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ If you had to marry a slave girl that believed in Allah, yes, she may be a slave, people may laugh at her and say, look at what type of person she is. Allah says, خَيْر, this is better for you than you marrying a mushrik. So Allah is giving us advice in what type of people we must associate with and not associate with. So inshallah, if we follow the simple advice of doing good things, and Allah also makes mention, some things are good and you may dislike. Allah says, I like it for you, do it. And some things may be the opposite. You may like, I may dislike, you may like. Allah says, whatever my system is, you must follow. Today you may not like it, tomorrow you'll benefit from it. And today you may dislike it, tomorrow you benefit. And today you may like something, but I'm asking you to stay away from it, and tomorrow you will benefit from it. So the Quran is giving us beautiful advice. And I will conclude with one thing. One of the ayah that we have recited today also is وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ Allah says, they are asking my servants, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي My servants are asking you regarding me. Tell them I'm very, very close. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ I am closer to them, according to the ayah in the Quran, closer to them than their own jugular vein. What does this mean? Ask of Allah. Ask of Allah in this month, and Allah will give you. Allah has taken us, brought us a very long way. People die to come to America. People die, they come to America in whatnot, boats, some of them drown, whatnot. Allah has blessed us. Look at us, we are sitting here. We don't have to worry about when we come out, somebody's going to rob us, someone's going to shoot us, someone's going to mug us. We are talking openly. We don't have to worry about when we come out of here, who's going to be arrested, not arrested. Allah has given us a lot of security. Allah is giving us a good night's sleep. Allah is giving us a good amount of food. What is Allah not giving us? In fact, you look, some of us over here, we have so much food, we can even become bodybuilders.
and do everything. We can take more food than necessary, alhamdulillah. And as a fact, he's busy over there, mashallah. But the point I'm trying to make, Allah is giving us every type of luxury, every type of comfort. So inshallah, if we ask Allah for more, do you think He will not give us? Inshallah, He will give us in abundance. Remember, what is the color of Allah? The color of Allah really means we must become that which becomes a representation of Allah on this earth. Inshallah, by doing that, we'll attain benefit not only in this world, but inshallah, the hereafter to come as well.